In the early morning of April the 6th, 2004, the U.S. military began an attack on the city of Fallujah after insurgents and an angry crowd murdered and mutilated four American civilians a week earlier. At the time, many questioned the military's decision to go into a city filled with civilians and Muslim religious sites that would involve house-to-house fighting. When the U.S. pulled out of the city, many questioned the military's decision to leave the battle uncompleted. Robert Kaplan, correspondent for the Atlantic Monthly magazine, writes that he was the only American journalist there on the morning of April 6 when the 5th Marine Regiment led U.S. forces into the heart of Fallujah. He says while Abu Ghraib has come to symbolize what's going wrong in Iraq, the U.S. military's attack on Fallujah is an example of how the U.S. military is getting it right. His story, titled 5 Days in Fallujah, appears in the July-August issue of the Atlantic Monthly. Robert Kaplan joins us now from his home in the Berkshires Mountains in Massachusetts, and thanks very much for being with us
today. It's my pleasure, Neil.
What's the significance of Fallujah in your mind?
It's got about five significances, from the tactical right up to the philosophical and strategic. On the tactical level, there's still room in this world for good old-fashioned infantry. I had spent a year before Fallujah on and off embedded with Army Special Forces and a lot of elite units. And yet, in Fallujah, which is bread and butter, grunt Marines, infantry units, and the kind of street-to-street fighting in Fallujah was not that much different than in Stalingrad, at Way City in Vietnam, and other places going back into history. So though we want these kinds of urban assaults at a minimum, here and there we do need kind of old-fashioned infantry. The next significant thing is that I learned is that the American military is not deployed well in Iraq. We are deployed like we're fighting World War II or Korea, whereas the adversary, the insurgents, are deployed more like the Viet Cong. We have far too much men and women and materials clustered around big rear bases in Baghdad and far too few troops and materials out in the villages, out in the combat areas like Fallujah. While there were vast chow halls near Baghdad for U.S. military, Marines in the Fallujah area the first few days were short of ammunition, short of a lot of things. And finally, the final significance is that we live in a media age, and complaining about the media simply does not cut it anymore. And while the Marines had a viable strategy for taking Fallujah on the ground, the administration had not planned out any kind of media strategy for explaining what the Marines were doing before, during, and after Fallujah. And by explaining, just to sum up, I don't mean spinning the news or lying. I just mean explaining in bread-and-butter terms what they were doing.
We're speaking with Robert Kaplan. His article, 5 Days in Fallujah, appears in the July-August issue of the Atlantic Monthly magazine. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. As you described the fighting, the Marines worked their way into Fallujah. They faced terrible dilemmas, including being fired upon from religious sites, from mosques, and the difficulties of encountering house-to-house fighting in an area where a lot of civilians were.
Yes. First of all, the Marines didn't decide to go into Fallujah. That was a high administration decision. The Marines were just following orders. They invaded the city because they were ordered to, and they left the city when they were ordered to. The fact that mosques would be used for, as storage depots for explosives, that the insurgents would use them for snipers and et cetera, was expected. Close-to-close, hand-to-hand combat in urban areas, even in the best of cases, you are going to have significant civilian collateral damage. Because all of this was expected, the administration should have expected the kinds of reports it got, not just from Al Jazeera, but from others, and should have been better prepared to explain the kinds of difficulties that the Marines were encountering.
After the Marines took about 20% of the city, there was a ceasefire was declared after some time, and in which the Marines continued to take casualties, continued to be attacked. Higher-ups decided to pull the Marines out. Was Fallujah a victory or a defeat?
Uh, I'm not sure. That's a very good question still. I would put it this way, that, you know, ordering the Marines to take the city after the murder and mutilation of the contractors was a legitimate decision, just as ordering the Marines out in and of itself and negotiating a solution was legitimate. What I have trouble understanding is putting both of the two together. Both of the two together, to me, adds up to policy incoherence. But in terms of what is it, was it a success or not, well, we have to factor in what the Marines did after they left Fallujah. They did two important things. One is the same Marines that were fighting in Fallujah were freed up to fight to conduct mortar mitigation, because the greatest threat to American troops in Iraq now is mortars and rockets fired on front and rear bases. And the second more important thing is the Marines went into a city half the size of Fallujah, still very considerable, strategically located, called Algarma, and they came fairly close to pacifying that city. So it wasn't as if they suddenly became—they didn't do anything useful after leaving Fallujah. So I believe that if Fallujah can remain more or less peaceful, under control, at some point the Marines or the Army can patrol there. And if mortar rocketing goes down in the Sunni Triangle area, and this city, Algarma, that went a long way to being pacified, continues to improve— then the decision to negotiate a solution may look like the right one.
The first image of American soldiers and Marines that we got from Iraq was, of course, in the heady days of success in the capture of Baghdad. More recently, the behavior of the prison guards at Abu Ghraib has come to be accepted as at least one definition of U.S. presence in Iraq. As you saw those Marines conduct themselves in difficult circumstances, in a very difficult battle in house-to-house fighting in Fallujah, what impression did you come away with about the qualities?
I came away with young, high-testosterone males, 18 or 19, that the moment the fighting started suddenly became mature 30-year-olds. Every time that I use the pronoun we, because I was with them and bullets don't distinguish, every time we were fired upon, the Marines did not fire back. They picked and chose their shots, and because they rarely had clean shots, they often did not take any shots. So most of the firing was from the other side. The Marines went out of the way. In fact, I would say that they risked their lives and took extra casualties to keep civilian casualties to a minimum. The only time I saw Marines overtly depressed was when they came upon a civilian casualty. And this was at a time when the Marine casualties, both killed in action and wounded in action, had reached into the dozens.
Robert Kaplan, thanks very much.
It's my pleasure.
Robert Kaplan is a correspondent for the Atlantic Monthly magazine, the author of 10 books, the most recent called Mediterranean Winter. His article, 5 Days in Fallujah, appears in the July-August issue of the Atlantic Monthly magazine. He spoke with us from his home in the Berkshires in Massachusetts. In Washington, I'm Neil Conan, NPR News.